Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1451, air date June 4th, 2024.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Shiva Ayadure. Today, we're going to be having a conversation with Akanke Rashid, who comes from a very prominent Muslim organization, about what my candidacy for president and what Muslims should know about it. So again, this is Dr. Shiva Ayadure, and we're going to have this very interesting conversation with my interviewer, Akanke Rashid, about what my presidency means for Muslims and what Muslims should know about it. So that's what we're going to start with today. And those of you joining, welcome. And the conversation again today, let me bring up the slide, is going to be my candidacy for president and what Muslims should know. All right, Trey, I'm going to go over to Akanke, if you can take it over. Is that all right? Thank you. Okay, Akanke, I think, hi, Akanke, I think we're ready.
Yes. All right, do we start now?
Yes, good to have you.
It's a pleasure to be with you, and thank you so much for accepting the invitation and being very enthusiastic, in fact, about it. And how it came up was a conversation where I shared with you that someone saw, a Muslim friend of mine, saw your yard sign in my yard for presidency. And he responded, Shiva, you have somebody's sign in your yard whose name is Shiva. Just on the name alone, it triggered him.
Right.
He knew nothing about you. And but eventually we talked about you, and he I shared with him some videos of your lectures and your presidential campaign video, and he loves it. But just the fact that it was triggered by your name is something that I want to speak to and have Muslims know you better beyond your name. And in fact, there is a connection in Islam to your name, Shiva, because Shiva means the destroyer. In my understanding is that in Hindu, it means the destroyer. And in Islam, we have the 99 names of Allah, and one of them is Ad-Dar, the destroyer. And I really want to take a moment to read what that means, and then we'll talk about that whole conversation.
Oh, this is great.
Hold on, let me just pull it up. Okay, so could I share my screen, or?
Go ahead.
Just a moment. Okay, so this is from a book that I compiled in 2017 about the names of Allah, and Ad-Dar, the corrector, the distressor. This attribute describes Allah as the one whose wisdom may choose to use forceful corrections, the one who creates adversity or distress in order to discourage or correct wrongful behavior, and the one whose wisdom may use situations that have an outward appearance of being harmful, but is for the purpose of correcting things. And so this really reminds me a lot of your campaign and all the things that you do. You are really trying to disrupt the status quo, to correct things for the citizens, the people for whom everyday life matters. And so I just wanted to kind of get us aligned on that. And you can say anything you'd like to about the whole idea that your name triggers people's in different ways. So what would you like to say about that to start with?
Well, thank you very much, Akanke. To everyone listening, Akanke attended one of our open houses, which Trey will put up. We do every 11 a.m. EST and 8 p.m. EST. It's open to the public. You know, we have a open to the public, and then we also have a meeting with our Truth From Health Warriors. And we had this conversation, right?
Yes.
About the name Shiva and the fact that he had a lawn sign and what it triggered. And we said, we should actually do a conversation on this.
Yeah.
So look, the name Shiva, it actually comes from a Tamil word called Savappu. Okay, Savappu, which actually means the color of the sun, light.
Mm.
Okay, so all great spiritual traditions had great value for nature, you know, particularly the sun, right? Because the sun heals things, it feeds. Without the sun, we're sort of, we don't exist. So that's where it comes from. And over time, you know, many of these religions, in my view, or many of these traditions had great respect for nature. And over time, some of it got codified into what we call religions. But the spiritual aspect ultimately comes, if you look at all the great traditions, some deep aspect of nature which we could see and the things we could not see, right, with our five senses. Mm-hmm. And then obviously, if you meditated and you prayed and you did certain contemplative exercises, you could see other things beyond the physical senses. And that was a notion, in my view, of all these great spiritual traditions. So that's where the word, it's light, L-I-G-H-T. Now, Shiva is the destroyer of ignorance. Mm-hmm. So Shiva has this scepter, which is like the scepter of Neptune, which is a Trishula, which is a trident. And what Shiva does is he takes that and he pierces darkness to let in the light. And piercing darkness, obviously, is not an easy task to do. You have to take, you have to be a teacher. You have to be an educator. You have to, like what you just said, take corrective action, right? You have to, you know, a good teacher is not, may not come across as a, sort of this, oh, happy-go-lucky, nice person, right? The greatest teachers I've had as coaches, every teacher was very disciplined, very strict, and they weren't into popularity. I mean, I had a great chemistry teacher, Mr. Walker. He ended up winning the President Award, and he came from a working class high school that I went to. He held three jobs. I mean, this guy was a carpenter, a general contractor, and a teacher, and I think he made less than, you know, 10 or 15 grand. But he was the best chemistry teacher I had, and he was extremely strict, very corrective in his actions. If the answer to a problem was 92.21 and you got 92.22, you got 20 points off. Why? Because he wanted to train people in chemistry. He was a chemistry teacher. That 1/100th of a difference could end up blowing up a power plant. Mm-hmm. And so you weren't just given grades because you sort of got close, which is what we do. So he was very strict, right? The difference between truth or the right answer and the wrong answer was a big difference. And nowadays we give people awards as long as they do the work and the answer doesn't matter. This is a very, very bad view of life, right? You're sort of in the right neighborhood. Oh, he tried. So, but the notion of Shiva is, he's part of the Trinity in the Indian, at least in the Hindu spirituality, which has creation, preservation, and destruction. Now, what's interesting is these three forces are actually engineering forces, transport, conversion, and the vessel, which contains things, right? Conversion is a process of destruction in many ways, you know, because fire destroys things, right? The conversion process, digestion, is a destructive process. In engineering, we call this a conversion process. Transformation. Shiva is also known as a transformer. He's the energy of transformation, which transforms people who are in the darkness into the light. The aspect of movement or making things, the movement of ideas and information, is a creative force. In the Indian tradition, that's represented in the force of a being called Brahma, B-R-A-H-M-A, which is interesting, Brahma, which is no different than from Abram, Abraham, okay, from Brahm, from the creator. In fact, in the original Old Testament, it was called Abram, right, from Brahm. So these words are very interesting, you know, the origin of these words. And then the preservation or the structural piece which contains things was a preservation energy in the Indian tradition that was held by Vishnu. But Shiva actually occupies all three forces. When he manifests himself in one form, it's destruction. But it's destroying evil. It's destroying ignorance, right? Which is seen as evil, which causes all suffering, right? In the Buddhist tradition, right, Buddha said that all the cause of all suffering is ignorance. So in my view, Shiva represents that force which pierces darkness, you know, and that's a destructive force. If you want to build the muscle, you have to destroy the old. If you want to create something new, you have to destroy the old. And this force of destruction is typically related to the force of old habits, old ideas, right? Brainwashing, containment of things that don't serve us. Mm-hmm. If you typically in many health and health traditions during the spring and the fall time, you do some type of fasting or some type of activity to cleanse the body. Detoxification is a destruction purpose. You're getting rid of things in your body that don't need to be there. They're holding you back, right? So many of the spiritual traditions have this aspect of destruction, you know, some aspect of preservation and some aspect of healing, you know, which is creation. But that's where Shiva comes from. I was given that name because, you know, when I was born, my mother and I got very sick. And my dad said when I was born, I looked really healthy. And then suddenly I got very sick. And I was apparently a very healthy kid. And my dad said, you know, they believe in these superstitions called the evil eye. And someone gave us the evil eye. And I got very, very ill. And my dad left us in the hospital thinking both my mom and I were going to die. So they obviously, my grandmother, everyone prayed to this god Shiva. And so that's why I was made Shiva. Okay. But so that's where that comes from. But in many, many traditions, you'll see this concept of light and the concept of bringing in the light, destroying ignorance, fighting evil. And that's where Shiva really represents. One other aspect of Shiva, Akakne, is this aspect of self-sacrifice. And so there's many, many stories. Shiva is really an archetype for an energy, right? So you see him, he has a snake around his neck. He has very little clothes. He has a leopard skin. He lives on Mount Kailash, which is heavenly mount, but he also lives in the graveyard. So the typical Christians say, oh, this must be the devil. He's carrying the trident, right? Very, very, but without understanding the mythology here or the symbolism, the story goes that Shiva, there was an evil goddess called Kali who was trying to destroy the earth. And she was spewing poison into the earth by churning the oceans. And if you ever watch people churning stuff in the old days, they would take a stick, they would tie a rope around and they would churn, like churning buttermilk. Well, the rope was a snake called Vasuki. And the earth was, and the waters of the earth were being churned to put out this poison. Anyway, Shiva in his self-sacrificing nature starts consuming the poison, right? It starts killing him, and he gets a blue neck, and his wife takes a snake, wraps it around his neck to protect him, right? So anyway, there's all these mythologies about the qualities of Shiva, self-sacrificing. Sometimes he gets angry, you know, he pierces darkness. He lives very simply. Even though he's the Lord of the universe, he lives very simply, you know, and he meditates where the dead are. So there's all these, I mean, we can go on and on and on, but there's many, many aspects of Shiva.
Okay, so it's important for me to ground this conversation in an Islamic framework so that the Muslim audience that I'm calling to know more about you understands. So first thing I want to say is that the Hindu religion has in Islam there's only one God, but there is also many attributes of Allah, and I shared one with you that in there's a book called The Quran and the Life of Excellence, and he has a chapter called The Names of God, and in it he gives the examples of the Hindu religion and the names of the different gods, which are really attributes of the one God, because you all believe in one supreme God. Is that correct?
Yeah. So Hinduism believes in the concept of one God, but God has these different attributes.
Right.
So in fact, Hinduism believe God manifests, this one God manifests everywhere, in every particle of the universe.
Right.
So when the, quote unquote, the white man arrived in India, they thought these people were just worshiping idols. It's a very inane view, but the Hindu religion believed God exists in every aspect of the universe. So you have great reverence for a rock, you have great reverence for a cow, you have great reverence for all these, every aspect of life.
Part of creation. Mm-hmm.
Every aspect of creation. Now, those aspects of creation have different attributes. So you have Murugan, which was a son of Shiva, who's the aspect of fighting and medicine, healing, fighting evil. You have many, many different attributes, like you say, of God, right? And there are books written on all the attributes, documenting all these different attributes. But all the, you know, but there's one God, right? One, you know, ultimately, interesting enough, Hinduism believes that, Christ was an avatar of God, a son of God. It also believes Muhammad was a son of God, right? All these religions have great reverence. At least that's what I was taught growing up, right? That God, in his infinite wisdom, sends different of his agents at different points in time to help humanity forward. Mm-hmm. So, but they actually believe, at least in South Indian Shaivite Hinduism, that these great people who come are actually agents of God. Now, you may call them avatars, you may call them prophets, right? But they are directly working, for God and for humanity's interests. And the Hindu religion believes these avatars keep coming continually, right? But yes, the commonality is there's this one God with different attributes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I just really want to establish that as the foundation for our agreement that there is only one God, a God with many attributes. And the difference is that you all are calling these other attributes by gods, which we disagree with. They are not gods. They are attributes of God, which you also just said. So in order for, going beyond that part of who you are, and I know there's going to be a lot of debate around this after this is, seen by many people. We're going to be talking a lot about, like, what's the truth, if you will. But just suffice it to say that there's one God and there's only one God, and different religions, your religion, Hinduism, sees God in different attributes, but calls them by God and goddesses, and we do not agree with that. But if we can get beyond that, which I'm hoping we can, even though that's a big stick, I mean, that's the biggest sin for us in Islam, is to say that God has other gods and they compete with each other. We do not subscribe to that. We denounce that full-heartedly. When I heard, before I even thought about your name, I heard the truth you were speaking. And I want to share a quote with you by Malcolm X for two reasons. Number one, because I love the quote and it describes the experience that I had with you. And number two, because I know Malcolm X is someone you really love and look up to. The quote is about truth. He says, "I am for truth no matter who tells it. I'm for justice no matter who is for or against it. I am a human being first and foremost. And as such, I'm for whoever and whatever benefits humanity as a whole." And I think given the quagmire we're in with this two-party system in the U.S. and a Biden and a Trump as a possibility, I just cannot imagine that we would hang our hats or our hijabs on the fact that someone who's running for president has a name Shiva and practices the Hindu religion, even though, we have differences in terms of how we perceive what that means. The bottom line is the truth that you speak. And I want to get to that. I know there's going to be a lot of debate about the other stuff, but let's talk about your campaign for president. The two-party system has a stronghold on American society, on the minds of Americans. It's like, can we get beyond the fact that we can have something other than what we are settling for? I think it's important to consider that and to understand that and to shatter that ceiling, to disrupt that. It's a hard fight, but we must do that. And that's what you and other independent candidates are doing. So can you talk to us about your campaign for president? Why you're doing it? I know a big part of it is to disrupt the system. Again, the destroyer, Adar, the one who destroys Shiva, the one who destroys the destroying the mindset, first of all, of the people who are deaf, dumb, and blind in many ways, and destroying the status quo. And you talk a lot about the status quo and the swarm and the all of that. So there's so much we can talk about, Dr. Shiva. We've gotten through the elephant in the room, the name and the religion. Let's talk about the work and the sincerity from which you speak and all the work that you've done and what you want to do, the vision you have through your campaign, Truth, Freedom, Health, and all the things that you do. I'd love to play the campaign video at some point so it can be together with this conversation, but let's just take it into who you are in terms of what you do, the vision you have for a free citizenry in the US. Like, we need to be free and empowered and healthy and speaking the truth and knowing the truth and living by truth and justice and all of that, please.
Right, so let's look, Malcolm X is probably, you know, in the modern times, probably the only person that I know in the modern times, right, who connected heaven and earth, right? He walked the walk, and Malcolm went through his own journey. And in many ways, I've gone through a similar journey. And that's why, you know, when I was in ninth grade, my history teacher, again, was our baseball coach, again, working class town. He had an interesting rule. Even if you got A's in everything, A plus in every exam, you had to do an extra credit project to get an A. I just got A plus. I worked very hard. And so he gave a reading list of 10 books, and you had to read one of you get to choose one of those books, and you had to write a serious book report. So Autobiography of Malcolm X was on that list. For some reason, I chose that. And that was, I think I must have been, what, ninth grade? 13, 14, right? So I connected very much with his life journey because it was very much of my life journey. And I never thought about Malcolm X as a Muslim or a non-Muslim or a Black Muslim. But his last speech that he gave was the one that moved me the most because, you know, Malcolm went through his journey. He came bottoms up from nothing. He was attracted to initially the Black Muslim movement, right? And then he realized some of the concerns he had with that, some of the contradictions. So then he went to Mecca. And after he came back, he gave a very famous speech where he said, "I believe there will ultimately be a clash between the oppressed and those who do the oppressing, but it will not be based on the color of the skin," right? So he went through this very, very important journey. But to Malcolm, truth was truth was truth was truth, okay? He wasn't going to say, "Oh, this person's telling the truth and they're a Hindu or they're a Christian or they're a Muslim or they're Black or white." Truth stands on its own, right? And there are many people who claim to be Hindus saying they're following God and they actually are not. They're doing the exact opposite, right? Or Christians say this and so on. So ultimately, you can look at what people do in their deeds. And Malcolm also talked about this. How did they live their life? And can you trace their life on its journey, and did they live a life that matches their deeds, and were they commensurate to that? And you will find out that my life matches that. And my life is pretty much an open book, and I grew up in India. You know, you can play the video, I think, towards the end of the podcast or whenever you want to, but, you know, India has a caste system. Mm-hmm. I grew up in two worlds, in the city of Bombay, but also in a deep village in South India. Now, Bombay, my friends, were... If you looked around, if you go to Bombay, you have every religion. You have Zoroastrians, you have Muslims, you have Christians, you have Jews, you have Hindus, Hindus of all different flavors. Hinduism, frankly, is a very, very disorganized religion. Mm-hmm. My parents brought us up to go to church. They said, you can go to a mosque. They said, you can go anywhere. Wherever God resides, they said, there's one God, you can go anywhere. So we came to the United States. There weren't any Hindu temples. So I went to Catholic school. I went to Christian church, Baptist, apostolic, everything. My parents just felt a founding in some connection to one God, whatever that was a good thing. That was sort of their disorganized view. So they didn't say you must go to a temple and do all these rituals, Hindu rituals, because most of the Hinduism that I grew up in India was Brahmanism, which is as bad as Zionism, as bad as this caste system. So obviously many Hindus who grew up in that religion of caste either converted to Christianity, a number of them, or some of them try to find something else. So some of them became Muslims, right? Because there was a serious inequity. So I grew up in this world of an Indian caste system. And I grew up in a deep village in South India where my grandmother was really the village healer. And the Hinduism that she practiced was very different than the Hinduism that Hindus practice. You know, if you went into her small home, there were pictures of all the great, from Christ to Muhammad, right? To Rama, all these things, because in her view, all of these people were avatars of God, one God, right? So there is different forms of Hinduism. Vaishnavites, Shaivites, one believe in what you just said, and one believe there's one God, you know, a monotheistic view. Mm-hmm. So, but that's the world that I grew up in. So I was fascinated by politics. Why was I treated differently than these white looking Brahmins who would spit on me? I didn't see Muslims spit on me. I didn't see Christians spit on me. I saw my own Hindus spit on me. Okay. So this concerned me. So I got very, very deeply interested in politics. I got interested in medicine because my grandmother was a healer. She was a village hero. There were no doctors in that poor village, but she had knew all this very powerful ancient systems of medicine, and she healed people. So those were the two driving forces. And I was also deeply moved by what I saw after I came to the United States in 1970, stayed here for 5 years, went back to visit my grandparents. That's when I saw the serious inequities in the world. How could it be that I'm going to go to this wealthy country? They have everything. They go and invade countries like Vietnam and do those kind of things. There's black people that are segregated. And then I go to India and I see the same segregation in India. As a child, my grandparents have no shoes. My aunt lives in a little hut. And as a 12-year-old, when I went back to India in 1975, I said, I should learn why this all takes place and I want to do something about it. As a child, this inequity didn't make any sense to me. People would try to make me say, oh, you'll change when you get older. But my anger never diminished, Akanke, at this serious injustice. And in fact, my people would say, well, you know, after you grow up, you'll get used to it. Well, I never got used to it. It seriously affected me, you know, all these things. But I not only that trajectory, and I remember that scene in 1975 when I'm leaving India in that small village in one of those caboose trains, my grandparents with great love, crying, very devout, very deep connection to God. Mm-hmm. My grandfather, you know, they worked out in the fields until 16 hours. These were truly, to me, the people of God. They lived a very honest life, you know, honest work, hard work, never cheating people, etc. So that put me on a trajectory to realize I'm going to go to the United States. I'm going to be afforded opportunities that, you know, all these other billions of people don't have. And if I don't do something with my life, I'm a parasite. So I had this deep sort of sense of conviction as a 12-year-old kid. In retrospect, it's interesting to see that. But it came directly from this deep devotion to God, ultimately, that I saw in my grandparents and a deep reverence for them. So that put me on a trajectory to come to the United States, work very hard. By the time I was 14, I had finished all my math classes. I went to, in my last 3 years, to an all bourgeois Zionist Jewish high school where all the kids thought they're the chosen people of God. I remember them going in the summers to visit Israel and they'd want to kill every Arab. It was crazy, every Muslim. They thought, I mean, these kids would get brainwashed. They would become nuts. And this bothered me because I won every major award in that high school and I could see their own racism against me because I wasn't one of the chosen people. And I distinctly remember when I won one of these awards, I was coming out of an auditorium after receiving a standing ovation, and my mother was in a horrible accident in the ICU, and I had to go see her. So I wasn't even thinking about all these, you know, great ovation I'd gotten. I was more concerned about my mother, and this Jewish mother comes running to me, and she screams at me and my father, and she says, your son has done nothing great. My son could have done what your son did had he chosen to work. Mm-hmm. Completely nuts. So, you know, my mother always told me, she said, and in India, you can get discriminated 7 or 8 different ways. In America, 3. So if you get a B, they're going to see you as a C. If you're going to have to get an A plus to even be respected as an A. So I knew I always had to work harder. And I knew that because of my skill and my talent, that they would keep me out of competitions, Akanke, mm-hmm. in high school. They would. So I realized that these people don't play fair. Mm-hmm. They do not want real competition. And that has not changed until this moment, mm-hmm. right? And we should talk about that. So if anything, I come from below. I know the sufferings of people. You know, everything I have, I've been very fortunate to even have made it this far by all accord from my background. I shouldn't even be here.
you know, my parents coming here, leaving the caste system, me being here, me running for president, none of this should have ever have occurred. So I know there's a divine force. Mm-hmm. It has to be, because I look back at my life, I didn't even know about MIT until randomly 2 weeks before some random guy said you should come and apply. Mm-hmm. And you can look, all these incidents are just seemingly random events, but it seems like there was some hand guiding me.
Absolutely. Okay.
So I can discuss my own spiritual experiences, right? At some point, but the bottom line is, I went through this journey working very hard, very sincerely. I created the first email system as a 14-year-old kid in a medical school that as a 14-year-old, I was given a job to work as a research fellow, right? So here I'm a 14-year-old kid. I'm working with people 30, 40, 50 years older than me, but treated as an equal. And this was not at MIT. This was in a small medical college in a predominantly African-American town called Newark, New Jersey, where most white people are still afraid to walk into. Mm-hmm. But my friends were the custodial workers, the secretaries. The secretaries are the ones who ran these organizations because they did all the work for their bosses. And the way they ran these organizations was through a communication system, which was known as the interoffice paper-based mail system, inbox, outbox, folders, mm-hmm. right? And I was asked to convert that paper-based system to the electronic form, which no one had done before. Mm-hmm. In fact, the old white men at the time who were using computers thought that the women were too stupid to ever use a computer. And they thought creating such a system was impossible. They were focused on sending simple messages between computers. Mm-hmm. I converted that entire system in 50,000 lines of code as a 14-year-old, named that system email mm-hmm. before I came to MIT, okay? When I arrived at MIT in 1981, it was on the front page of MIT. I was highlighted as 3 of the 1,000 students, and everyone knows MIT is very competitive. You know, 100,000, 200,000 people apply, 1,000 get in. So out of those 1,000, I was highlighted as 3 of those 1,000 who had created one of the, you know, me creating this email system. The president of MIT invited me to his home, and he was the one who advised me to get the copyright for it, because that was the only way to protect software inventions. On August 30th, 1982, I get the first US copyright, recognizing me as the inventor of email. Now, I was brought up to be always a humble Indian kid. I didn't make a big deal out of this. Yeah, I invented email. Okay. Went in and out of MIT, did many degrees in engineering, electrical engineering, mechanical engineering, and design and biological engineering. That was one journey. One of those three, if you want to take the trident, one journey was a scientist. The other journey was in medicine, very deeply interested in medicine. But the third journey was the journey of freedom, activism. I was very deeply interested in understanding the systems of oppression, right? Why were there poor people and other people with trillions of dollars? That bugged me. I don't think that's right, okay? Others may think that's okay, I don't, okay? And especially exploiting people for their labor. And then I started understanding as a 17-year-old, remember I'd been reading books since I was a 4-year-old kid with the experiences I had of the caste system. I realized that the only change, significant change that ever took place in the world was not from politicians, but from bottoms up movements, when people raised their consciousness.
Yes.
And that's when real change took place. Mm-hmm. And you saw that across history. And then I also learned that as people were raising their consciousness, there was a forces of evil that would come and try to suppress their consciousness. There was a direct force, the obvious snake. But the more dirtier ones were the people who spoke the word of God, or people who claimed to speak the word of truth, would teach, would literally take people's words who were true, but just speak, but they never walk the walk. And we have that today. Booby Kennedy steals, literally comes to our open houses, steals my words. Trump. I mean, Trump is showing crime pays. That's what he showed, right? Trump is a master con man. That's why the elites like him. Biden is a master con man. So you look at all these people, Democrat or Republican, or there's two dimensions here, left and right, but also the obvious establishment and the not so obvious establishment. Mm-hmm. So as our movement has grown, as we have talked our pure truth, it has pierced the darkness. You know, in 2020, we came out full stream. It was me that ran the Fire Fauci campaign. It was me that came out against lockdowns openly. Those videos reached about 500 million people. They're fully documented on Twitter, Facebook, et cetera. It was I, after they cheated my election, when I ran against, as a Republican here, where we showed that they flipped the voting machines. Mm-hmm. All of these things were done by me and our movement because they never expected an engineer, a scientist, someone committed to truth to ever enter politics. We're supposed to be in our little cubes, right, creating email or doing this, or, you know, it's fine as long as you're a technologist. But they surely do not want guys like me who come bottoms up figuring all this out. This is very dangerous. No different than Malcolm X. Mm-hmm. Malcolm X came from below. He figured this out. He went through his journey. No one fed it to him. He wasn't like a Martin Luther King, who was an agent of the swarm. Sorry if you're Black and you need to hear this, but you need to learn the truth, okay? Malcolm X was a real hero. The Kennedys and the Southern National Christian Conference controlled Martin Luther King. He was a bougie Black man, and you can read about it. He had a lot of baggage behind him. You compare his life and you put it to Malcolm X's life. I mean, this is why the elites pushed Martin Luther King. They had a lot of stuff on him. He was a useful instrument. Forget the words that he said. Malcolm wanted Black people to be able to stand up on their own two feet, have infrastructure in the inner cities. Martin Luther King could be used, and he was used, okay? Just like Gandhi in India was a complete agent of the swarm. Now, these may sound sacrilegious, but it is the truth. And people need to recognize that the ultimate thing they do not want is everyday people, the 8 billion of us, figuring out the dynamics of how they manipulate us, figuring it out and collectively rising up. And that is a movement that I'm leading with Truth Freedom Help. I have cracked the code. I have figured out how they manipulate us. And that knowledge is what we share to anyone who wants to learn it. And it doesn't matter what religion you're from. It doesn't matter what background you're from, whether you're a hairdresser or a PhD. Our model is learn, teach, and serve. So we're teaching people that there are these three divine forces in the universe. The Indians, in the yogic tradition, called it Vata, Pitta, Kapha. Okay? In the engineering tradition that I learned at MIT, and by the way, I was the one who uncovered this connection, we call it transport, conversion, storage. Okay? The Trinity, right? And I'm sure in Islam, they have something similar. If we just studied a little bit, the concept of the force of movement, creativity, right? The force of things that contain things, support things, and the force of conversion, right? Now that's manifest in Truth, Freedom, Health. Truth is the aspect of taking ideas, the creative force, figuring out what's real, what's truth, right? Truth is in many ways a verb. You start at a certain point. Malcolm went through his journey to truth, right? We all are at a certain point. It's not like at one point the truth is bad or not bad. You're refining it. You're peeling away the onions until you get to the core. But it's a refinement process. Now, you can't go down that path without freedom. The freedom to discourse, the freedom to argue, the freedom to contemplate, the freedom to pursue the religion of your choice, right? That process. And then freedom nor truth cannot exist without a healthy body, a healthy mind, a healthy vessel, a healthy economy. Truth, freedom, health. These three forces manifest in all different forms in different traditions. In the engineering tradition, it was called transport, conversion, storage. And this is the science of systems. And to me, that science intersects the secular world and the spiritual world. But to me, it shows that it's neither. The problem is the spiritualists and the materialists, they separate these worlds. It's all spiritual, all of it. It depends on where your consciousness is. So that is what we educate people on. And once you understand this, you start looking at the world in a very different way. You start really looking for truth. So you take an issue like Zionism, right? This is why I was so precise in my definition. I'm sure you don't want me to curse on this show, right? So I won't, right? I had a very clear statement, if people want to see it, you know, why I'm the only presidential candidate who blah, 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 with Zionism. Okay, you can go see it. Mm-hmm. And it just came out of nowhere. It was almost like fed into me, Akanke. What happened was I had traveled back from Asia and I had to do this interview and I got very little sleep and it just came out. It had to come out. And that thing went viral because it struck the chord of people to realize that Zionism is racism in the service of imperialism. Mm-hmm. Zionism has nothing to do in many ways with Judaism. In fact, anti-Zionism has nothing to do with being anti-Semitic. You also learn when you study it and apply science that the Zionists were one to one with the Nazis. Mm-hmm. And the pattern also matches why all the Hindu fundamentalists mm-hmm. were all out for bombing Gaza and Palestine, because they're the Brahmins, who are no different than Brahminism equals Zionism equals Nazism. Now, no Hindu will say that except me, because my journey has led me to that. Mm-hmm. Right? So I'm able to, as a candidate, in many ways, I represent all people because of the journey I've been through. These booby Kennedy, he has no idea. He's a complete liar. Look at the way he lives his life. He kept a diary of having sex with 28 women. And then his wife finds that she kills herself. He didn't really care. But what he did do was lie and lie and lie. He gets a good PR agency to show himself praying over her coffin. They take pictures, supposedly burying her in the Kennedy burial area. The next day, they exhume her body and put it in an unmarked grave. And Booby Kennedy tells people personal integrity and public integrity are two different things, openly. You see, mm-hmm. these people are not men of God at any level. They're actually satanic people. Mm-hmm. And it manifests themselves in their physiognomy. I'm sorry, you have to look at, you get a sense of people once you refine yourself. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's a reason his voice sounds like that. It's not by, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It is who he is. And their lives do not match their deeds, and they know it. They are all agents of the devil. They serve the establishment. They're agents of the swarm. Trump, a leader? Are you serious? The guy's fake. He's a fake businessman. He was selected by the Zionists because they knew he could con people. Who else gets convicted on 32 counts, and the next day he's out there raising money, $250 million overnight? Who else takes my material that I uncovered about election fraud, uses it to raise $500 million? And I had two meetings with him. What did he do with that money? You see, these people are the real evil. It's obvious to see the Clintons and the Bushes, they go bomb people and they tell you they're going to bomb people and they hate you. But these people are the real devils. These are what the spiritual traditions talked about. The real devils. And you have to have the wisdom to see through that. And truth is truth is truth, okay? So that's what this is about. Our campaign is the only campaign in a long, long time which goes at the heart of the issues. Every issue we have always been very prescient on, way ahead. 4 years later, these guys are talking about Fauci. Come on, Trump gave him the commendation award. They're grilling him. It's all theater. They didn't do anything. I mean, I was the one who delivered 120,000 petition letters to Trump. His former wife, Marla Maples, took my letter to Trump, don't shut down the economy, fire Fauci. He didn't do any of that. And now these same Republicans, including Rand Paul, they're acting like they're going after Fauci. People need to understand these people are plain working people. They act like they're fighting for us. And the way you can tell this is, did they tell the truth at the right time? And did they tell the truth to mobilize people? You know, I use a very expletive word to define Tucker Carlson. Mm-hmm. You can change one of the characters and you can know what those are, okay? You can come up with it on your own. But that's who he is. He is absolutely, his father came from the CIA, Tucker Carlson. He's part of the CIA. We live in a world now of absolute deception. The obvious deception and the real deception. And you have to raise your consciousness to see this. And that why I'm running for president. And if you are if you are a follower of God, the ultimate goal of being to me is to fight evil, period. That is the purpose of life. And you cannot fight evil if you don't see evil. And you have to be uncompromising. So for example, in the Free Palestine movement, the ceasefire movement, which I've I've been part of the anti-Zionist movement since 1981. I led one of the biggest protests against a guy called Meir Kahana after Ariel Sharon ran tanks into Gaza. This is like in the 80s. You can go look it up. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, at that time, the real evil was not, yes, obviously those guys, but then you had all these liberal Zionists. And they would run movements saying, cease fire now, containing protests. Mm-hmm. They didn't want us to talk about the Z word, Zionism. They didn't want us to talk about end the occupation of America by Zionism. They wanted to put it in a little box so they could wear their little ribbons when they ran these protests, and they would print what placards you could say, cease fire now. To me, that's one of the dumbest slogans. Cease fire now. The key word is now. But then you could go back again. So for the last 40 years, they've been preaching cease fire now, which means a Zionist can go two steps forward or three steps forward and one step back. And inch by inch by inch, they're pursuing their vision of the greater Israel, right? Which is a Zionist goal. So if you really analyze this and you apply a true and you apply truth, you realize that this is about ending the occupation. If you want a free Palestine, ending the occupation of America. Mm-hmm. You see, this is the real truth. Yeah. Because it's very easy for liberal elites in the United States to talk about doing something 10,000 miles away. But those same liberal elites on college campuses will not go connect with their into the black neighborhoods or the poor white neighborhoods right where those college campuses are. And I saw this, you know, when I led one of the biggest anti-apartheid movements at the MIT campus in 1980s. I was the one who organized massive protests, but you have to understand there were the liberal white elites. And they wanted to keep that protest about talking about black people in South Africa. You see, that's fine. But those same kids would not go into the black neighborhoods in Roxbury or Dorchester. So we said, if we want to talk about apartheid in South Africa, let's talk about economic apartheid right on the MIT campus. What about the black and the poor black and white food service workers and the custodial workers? We organize them. You see, that's now putting, that's where the rubber meets the road. Are you willing to do it in your own neighborhoods? So liberal elites like to always get involved in these protests, but never make the connection about their hands being dirty in their own areas. So our movement, my run for presidency, is always about going at the real tangible issues on every issue. And so when the pandemic took place, what did I do? Well, as one of the leading guys in the world on the immune system in 2019, I was a scientist invited by the National Science Foundation to give the prestige lecture on the immune system. So I was able to come out like that. I didn't wait to look at where my career was going to go. I said, look, this pandemic will go down in history as a complete manipulation to manipulate economies, to destroy people's health, and to destroy freedom. And you can see that March of 2020. Booby Kennedy was promoting lockdowns. Mm-hmm. Trump was promoting lockdowns. All of them were. I was the only scientist, and all these doctors were keeping quiet. A year later, they're like, oh, yeah. Why? Because they want to have their cake and eat it, too. They were quiet when the problems were taking place because they were profiting from their quietness. After everything was done, then they're acting like though they're against the establishment. You see, these people are truly evil. They do not do what's right at the right time because they're afraid of what it'll do to their careers. Mm-hmm. And that's how you judge someone's integrity. Do yes. they say the right thing at the right time? And you will see, I have always said the right thing at the right time, never thinking about my career, what it does for me, mm-hmm. for better or worse. Okay. Yes. But that's where I've always come from. So mm-hmm. on the pandemic, you can go see, I was the one who called it. I gave solutions. We must have saved hundreds of millions of people's lives. We said, take vitamin D3, take quercetin, take zinc. We correlated this having to do not with a virus, but having to do with systemic health issues. You see, for the last 40, 50, 60 years, and particularly among certain communities, the lifespan of the United States is going down. It's going 1980 till now, it's going downward. The vaccine or no vaccine was a minor issue relative to that. This has been the stress caused by income inequality, the destruction of the family, the pollutants in the environment. You know, information just came out that in a clinical experiment they did with animals, dogs, and males, 100% of them had plastics in their testicles, plastic mm-hmm. fragments, right? So male testosterone levels are plummeting. lifespan of the United States is going down. If you have a child today, high probability that your child will have a shorter lifespan than you. So if you, and this has been going on over 40, 50 years. So this is the indictment of the elites. They eat organic food. They have their biodynamic farms. They teach people how to eat garbage. But the long arc of this, that one number, the fact that lifespan is going downward, pretty much indicts all of them. And this started with John Kennedy pushing the 1962 Vaccination Act, creating all the corrupt organizations. Then his brother, Ted Kennedy, another Kennedy, who created the National Vaccine Injury Program to protect pharmaceutical companies. And then you have Booby Kennedy acting like he's for the people. This is the devil, acting like he's for medical freedom. But he actually says, I believe in full vaccination of all people, but he's somehow going to get these corrupt people to create safe vaccines. He doesn't talk about boosting the immune system. That's what I talk about.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's where it's going to come from. And how do you boost the immune system? Well, you have to let your kids play outside. Well, you can't let them play outside if there's crime, right? Or if everyone's afraid of each other's kids. But that's where you have to tune the immune system. It has to be used. People need to get the proper nutrition. So you turn on certain things in your body. So I know at a fundamental level, Akanke, that what occurs at the macro level affects the micro level. This is what a system scientist knows. Mm-hmm. Policies that these people do affect your biology. Mm-hmm. Policy to biology. When they did the policy of lockdowns, it made people depressed. It created anxiety. People are on antidepressants, particularly people of color. If you keep people inside, you know, my skin needs 15 times more sun than a non-dark skin. Why is that? Because I'm not going to produce vitamin D3. So that's basically sending people to the gallows when you lock down people. No one in Djibouti, Africa died, as far as we know. They were out in the, you know, out in the sun. D3, sun, as we talked about, is a great healer. So every one of the policies that I have is based on truth. And discovering truth takes a systems approach. These people are not interested in truth. They're interested in dividing us, but not dividing us even across the right divisions. There is a division, the 8 billion of us versus them. That's the right division. They want to divide us by religion, by race, by color, go down the list. Because as long as we're fighting against each other, we don't look at the real division, which is a 0.00001% subjugate the 8 billion of us.
There's a meme I've seen of the elite standing around a table, and the seat or the feet of the table are the people. So the table is being held up by the people. And
yes,
the whole idea is that when we wake up, the game is over. We just stand up and it, you know, it disrupts everything. So I think that analogy is behind what your movement is about. Is about waking us up so that we stand up and do the work and see the reality of the elite who's I guess their what they do is all about, as you say, power, profit, and control.
Yes, and that's why the Shatter the Swarm, if people go to shattertheswarm.com, that video is, it's in a 1-hour video, but we reduced it down to 15 minutes. Everyone should watch that. Every family, all 8 billion of us should watch that video. In spite of all the shadow banning, it's gone out there. But that video integrates engineering in a very practical way, control system science. It took me 50 years to be able to take a little, you know, marker and do that. But everyone should watch that video. It's a powerful video because you learn like that, the depth of what's going on. That video is multiple layers, Akanke, but it is about us standing up.
And explaining the whole system. It explains the how things are really, what's going on. It really explains it very well.
It explains it very well. And it also gives a solution. The solution is you. The solution is us choosing our leaders. We're not saying they're not going to be, you know, it's going to be some anarcho-syndicalism. There will be leaders, but which leaders are we choosing? And are they even allowing us to choose leaders? I mean, in 2018, when I ran as an independent in Massachusetts, we got all the signatures, 26,000 signatures to get on the ballot. And the Republicans, the Democrats kept me off the debate stage. It's no different than when I was seventh grade, a bunch of people got together and they said Shiva should not be allowed to take the chemistry exam when I was an A-plus student. So it's like they don't want the best coming to the top. They really don't. How many other people are like me who could have invented email in Newark, New Jersey. Philo Farnsworth is a kid who invented TV. They do not want to distribute knowledge and resources to the 8 billion of us because they're afraid of what we may create. And I know this. They are afraid of us. They want to contain technology, innovation, development to some fool called Elon Musk, who's actually never made anything. He's a failure. Go look at what he did with X.com. Peter Thiel had to come blame. They literally create their heroes and they impose them. You see, they don't want to talk about everyday people who are solving problems. I was just a kid who created email. Philo Farnsworth was a kid who created TV, 14-year-old kids in the outskirts. You see, great stuff is occurring in the fringes and the edges. They have to create this idea that we have to go to their institutions of power. And then after you get anointed, then you're somebody. Now, the problem they have with someone like me, Akanke, is I went to their institutions of power and I created there. And I won all their awards, but I didn't forget where I came from. You see, the invention of email took place in New Jersey. When the truth of that came out 33 years later, a reporter from Time Magazine wrote an article called The Man Who Invented Email and went into the Smithsonian. This really bothered them because I didn't invent email at MIT. I invented it in Newark, New Jersey. That's not supposed to happen. You see, you can be a Harvard dropout and look a little bit wacky and you can create supposedly Microsoft or Facebook, which, by the way, Bill Gates stole all that. That's okay because it still comes from their bastions of power. But when you say email was done in Newark, New Jersey by a 14-year-old dark-skinned kid, that bugs them because that blows up all their things that they're the only ones at the source of creation. No, the source of creation comes from, in that case, a loving family, a hardworking kid, and a mentor. It doesn't come from the military-industrial academic complex. That's what they like us to believe. You see, they have manipulated all of us to think that we need them, that we should look up to them. And this is where the problem is, and that's what our movement is explosively breaking up. And whether you're a Muslim, whether you're a Hindu, whether you're a Christian, these are very eternal truths that, you know, that are, and if you're a follower of these, if you're a follower of Islam, and if you believe Malcolm X was a great leader, and the quote that you read, it's about truth. The truth is that the working people of this world need to rise up. We need to have respect for ourselves. Why are we following people like P. Diddy, Jennifer Lopez? Who are these Hollywood people? They're all devils. You know, I have been given many opportunities, Akanke, to be co-opted by them. It's like, it's almost like they, you know, like Forrest Gump, I've been to all these worlds. You know, when I went to India, the Indian government tried to recruit me to run one of the largest innovation centers, the Prime Minister's office. I took the job, thought I could help India. Then I had to expose all the corruption under death threats. I had to leave India. I went into Hollywood, figured out all that corruption, right? At every point, I've been given many opportunities to be co-opted, but I never forgot where I came from. You see, this is what my presidency is about. It's about us. It's about the forgotten people, us. And it's time we have our leaders. Now, Malcolm was on his way to figuring all this out. He was pretty close to figuring out the not so obvious establishment. He started, you know, articulating that the house slaves and the field slaves. Well, I call it the not so obvious establishment. I've organized it so everyone can become like Malcolm X, so we can create a million Malcolm X's. And that's what we need to do.
Say more about that. Organize it so that we can all become like Malcolm X. What do you mean by that?
So Malcolm went through his journey and he realized that you have the house slave and the field slave. This is a very interesting dynamic. Yes. So typically you have the master and you have slaves. We just think all the slaves are the same. No, there's two kinds of slaves. The house slave is the not so obvious establishment. As Malcolm said, when the master's house was burning down, who was running around saying, oh my God, the master's house is burning down. We got to put it out. It was a house slave. The field slave was excited that the master's house was burning down because that's his oppressor. Okay. The field slaves are off the plantation. The house slaves mentally are on the plantation and they're supporting them. Now, when you study system science, there's principles of system science, which is we have to teach people theory.
Yes, political and theory.
Systems theory. What's happened with over the many, many centuries, humans have been trying to figure out how to get off the plantation, how to free themselves. So throughout human history, from the time of Egypt and pharaohs and whatever, right, you can see once in a while the slaves would figure it out. But then they would get co-opted and co-opted. In the 1900s, throughout the world, people were figuring out how to get off the plantation. Women led many of those movements, bottoms up. In India, there was revolutionary movements. In Russia, in this country. And they were winning. And then the establishment realized, wait a minute, we can't have these bottoms up movements. These people are creating their own leaders, bottoms up. They're coming from the Mother Earth. So we will create leaders for them who will talk the talk. And we will impose them. And in fact, we may even create some false martyrs for them. Mm-hmm. They will follow them. That's what they started doing after the 1950s. They created Gandhi. Gandhi was created by the elites to manipulate the Indian people away from a good revolutionary movement, which is what India never got. India ended up getting Brahmanism. Okay. Now, in the 1900s, America was making some strides towards that. If any of the gains Americans have today came from the working people's bottoms-up movements. And the 1950s, they co-opted that. They called all those movements communist, uppercase C being run out of Russia. The liberal elites took over them. And by the 1970s, there's not been any movement anymore. The liberal Zionists own all the Free Palestine movements. That's what's really going on. That's what's really going on. They don't want to talk about Zionism and the occupation of the United States by Zionism. No one wants to talk about it except me, because I figured it out. And if you want to free the people of Palestine, you must end the Zionist occupation of America, period. You must free America to free Palestine. You see? Now, that view is that mindset, Akanke's, for people who get off the plantation. I'm off the plantation. And our movement is getting people off the plantation. When you're off the plantation, you don't look to them anymore. You're right. Like, well, I hope Tucker Carlson covers me. Why isn't Joe Rogan covering me? Because he knows I'm off the plantation. He doesn't want to put me on a show, because the day he puts me on a show, his show is over. Everyone there is going to see me, the real deal, and they're going to say, this guy was a fool. He's a fake. So that's what Malcolm was getting that. You know, Malcolm gave another speech. He said, you know, he goes, these northern wolves, right? That's what he called the liberal whites. He goes, at least in the South, you know, they come right at you to your face. These people come stab you in the back. That's what they do. That's what Booby Kennedy is. That's who Trump is. Trump takes advantage of the white working class in this country. That's what he was created for. The white working people in the United States are one of the most abused people on the planet, because they have tremendous freedoms, but they don't exercise their freedoms, because the elites know they have great freedom. So they have to brainwash them penultimate. That's the role of Trump. That was the role of Obama, all these people, to keep people looking to them. So now, because our movement exists, they've created many NSOEs, many house slaves. Tulsi Gabbard, house slave. Bernie Sanders, another house slave. Suddenly, now he's saying, oh yeah, Netanyahu's bad. Well, he didn't say anything on October 7th, okay? That guy's a pure devil, Bernie Sanders. He is created to manipulate people back into the wings of the, you know, left wing of the Democrats, just like they have Trump on that wing. So the devils are created by the establishment so you don't break free, so you don't get off the plantation, so you don't get off your butt and actually do work. What is the work? Getting a flyer like this, putting it on the back of your car. You do it. You go hand out flyers. You go collect signatures for one of us. You see, they all cheat. They're all cheaters. Booby Kennedy doesn't have any signature collectors. He gets Zionist money and he goes pay signature vendors and he does backroom deals. We actually have men and women, working people on the ground doing the hard work. These people cheat for a living. They do not live by God's word. They're all cheaters. You can't trust them at all. So our movement, you know, is educating people, not about the obvious establishment, not the master who's running the plantation. That's easy. We're talking about the house slaves. Because once you break out of the house slaves, you're off the plantation. You realize, wow, I got to do the work now. I got to find other people like me. I got to find other freed slaves. And we got to build a movement. That's what I'm doing. And if you want to be part of that, which where real truth, freedom, help is going to come from, join us. If you want to be lazy, all the seven deadly sins that this, you know, the great you know, leaders have talked about, look to them. Keep saying cease fire now, okay? Because that is a slogan created by liberal Zionists. The right slogan is end the occupation of America to free Palestine. You see, that's a very powerful slogan. That's like, it's like you're going right at the heart of the issue. And so you will see many people putting up pictures, and I believe this is another big psyop. I mean, people should just use a little bit of wisdom here. After the Vietnam War, Akanke, the establishment said, we will never show the American people the brutality of what we do in these wars, because that's when there was a serious anti-war movement. So they blocked journalists from ever going there. And they never wanted bottoms-up movements starting from universities and workers. Well, I found it very fascinating, because I went to a number of the college encampments, right? That why are all these grifters showing pictures of Palestinians being butchered and butchered and butchered and butchered and butchered? How are they getting these pictures? After a certain point, it does something quite fascinating to the mind. It desensitizes you. It numbs you over time. And on top of that, they showed on college campuses, some of these movements came up naturally, and they showed the police beating the hell out of them. Now, the elites typically don't like to do that. Remember, anything that comes out from the elites is done for a reason. And my view on this is that it was done. It's being done because, remember, Mossad's slogan is through deception, thou shalt do war. That's their slogan, through deception, thou shalt do war. They're waiting for a much bigger war. And by the time that war occurs, whether it's economic or something else, right? Quote unquote, World War III. They want us to be desensitized so we don't build bottoms up movements. So we see horror and we just get used to it. Because we know, you know, Rafah, they overnight turned off the internet. Why did they allow all these pictures out? And you see these grifters putting out these pictures, getting views and clicks over and over and over. My point is that the elites are highly, highly deceptive. Everything they do is very calculated. Everything. And we must have the wisdom to recognize that if we're looking to them for our news, looking to them for an angle, we're always going to be manipulated. We have to look to ourselves, and we have to look to leaders who come from below, who actually have walked the walk, and who actually offer wisdom. And that's what our movement's doing. And that's what my run for presidency is about. So anyone who's Muslim out there, understand that the elites have to denigrate people. They have to denigrate other people's religions. They have to denigrate other people. So other people among us, we're always fighting among each other. That's what this is all about. I mean, the Hindu fanatics in India love ultra-Islamic fundamentalism, which is actually paid for by them, by the way. So then they can get Muslims and Hindus fighting. I mean, for centuries, I mean, in Bombay, we all lived together. But one Hindu politician could go to Hindus and rile them up just by saying a few things. Same with one Islamic politician or one Christian politician. So politicians are snakes. They need their voter base. They can drop. And we know religion is a very powerful thing, or your sense of who you are. And you can easily start riots overnight. This is why Zionism and Nazism work so closely together. They love anti-Semitism. This is why, if you notice, they're putting fools like Fuentes back on the internet. I mean, back on Twitter. Why? He is actually says anti-Jewish stuff. He actually says pro-Hitler stuff. And so the Zionists need anti-Semitism. And they have to blur the lines between anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism. And the work that, you know, I did many, many videos explaining this, and people are starting to get it. So they want to blur those lines. This is why they passed a bill in Congress last month in March, which basically says that if you say anything against Zionism, it's going to be equated to anti-Semitism. So everything they're doing is to make sure people's consciousness don't grow out of the gutter. So we stay on the plantation. The problem they have now, Akanke, is we exist. You see? Before it was only one, and Malcolm was figuring this stuff out. You know, but now we exist. We teach people the science of systems. We teach people this dynamics. We want people to learn, teach, and serve. Without the right political systems theory, there will be no change. You'll be just, you know, chase like a dog chasing the cat. I'm chasing its tail. You'll be keeping making the same mistakes. Oh, now there's a Tulsi Gabbard. Oh, I heard she's against the military-industrial complex. Really? She was all out to go bomb Iraq. She was all out to go bomb Palestine. You see? So our movement is educating people that the establishment has a history of making sure we don't come bottoms up. And everything they do is to distract us from doing that. Everything. Have Muslims fighting Hindus, Christians fighting Hindus, Hindus fighting Muslims, Muslims fighting Zoroastrians, whatever the hell it is. White people fighting black people. Anything they will do anything. Immigrants fighting quote unquote illegals. I mean, are you freaking serious? The reason people are leaving Latin America here is because we bombed the hell. We supported all these fascist dictators. That's never left. That's not put into the history. Many of the quote unquote illegal immigrants who come here are coming here. And many of them are the ones who do all the landscaping. They're the ones who work. So they want American workers fighting against quote unquote illegal immigrant workers while they're stealing money on both ends. You see, so it becomes preeminent now in 2024 that we awaken to this division that they do. But there is, but we're not going to say some fake unity. No, we must divide. There is an us versus them. So I'm not into some fake unity. These people are evil. They want to subjugate us. They're destroying our lifespan. They don't want to feed you good food. They want to make you fat, dumb, and lazy. Obesity, in 4 billion people are going to be obese in the world in the next few years. You know, about 1 billion people are anxious and depressed. 40% of people want to overthrow their governments. 55% of kids feel hopeless. This is what they want. They don't want us in an inspired way, taking care of ourselves, building our movements. So that's what my presidency is about.
Absolutely. So how do people get involved with your movement? What's the, you mentioned to watch the Shatter the Swarm.
I'll give you a couple of homework assignments. Okay. So here are the homework assignments people can do. Okay. So the first homework assignment is everyone should go to shattertheswarm.com and watch that video. It'll take 15 minutes. I know you guys waste a lot of time doing all sorts of stuff. Go watch that video. It'll change your life. Number two, for our presidential race, if you have a lot of money and you like what I'm saying, donate money. Okay, if you want. But when you give us money, we give you books, we give you education, we give you knowledge of how to change the world, the science of systems. A simpler thing everyone can do, as I held up, is go to Shiva for President and get one of these bumper stickers. But don't just get it and have it. Peel it and put it on the back windshield of your car. 100,000 people will see it. You become a walking billboard. We're not waiting for them to put us on some TV station, okay?
Okay, I just want you to go back to the education part and
yes.
talk about how that happens and where the
yes.
come to so be educated.
So number one, so you can start with Shatter the Swarm, yes. And then you can go to truthfreedomhealth.com. Mm-hmm. And when you go to Truth Freedom Health, it says get educated or be enslaved. Go there, and we have various programs. The Warrior Scholar program will teach you system science, but I made it easy. It's not in some nerdly way. It's the same course I used to teach at the PhD level. I've made it accessible to everyone on the planet. We've had 13-year-olds, 8-year-olds, 80-year-olds take it. We've had a woman who cuts hair take it, and she teaches it to a PhD out of University of Chicago. I've taken, like Prometheus bringing fire to the earth, I've taken very powerful knowledge and made it accessible to you, because with that knowledge, you get the same knowledge that Henry Kissinger learns or George Soros learns. And the elites, you have to ask yourself, the reason I wanted you to watch Shatter the Swarm, you have to ask yourself, how do 0.00001% rule the other 99.99999%? Because they understand the dynamics of systems. If you don't understand those dynamics, you will remain a slave for the rest of your life. That is a liberating weapon. But it's not only a whole curriculum and knowledge that anyone can learn, but our models learn, teach, and serve. You learn it, then you're going to have to teach it to others. And then we give scholarships. And then you serve. Serve meaning you go hand out flyers. You go educate other people. It's like that movie, Akanke, that you ever watched Planet of the Apes? The ape Caesar, he learns how to talk and he starts educating everyone else. That's what we're doing here. We have to, like you said, stand up and throw over that table. We have to shatter the swarm. But you're not going to be able to do this without this knowledge. And that's why, you know, I really cracked the code on it. Inventing email is a pretty big thing. Inventing cytosol was a pretty big thing. You know, but Truth Freedom Health, it is a system. It's a system of knowledge. It's a community. It's a way that you shatter the swarm. Truthfreedomhealth.com.
Beautiful. You didn't tell us much about cytosol, so maybe that'll be in another conversation.
But yeah, just very briefly, cytosol, like email, is a technology, a revolutionary technology that eliminates the need for animal testing. And using cytosol, we're paying great reverence to ancient traditions, you know, like the Unani medicine that comes from the Middle East, right? Or Siddha and Ayurveda from India, or Native American medicine, or all the different traditional medicines, they all use herbs. With our technology, we're figuring out why they work and creating new medicines faster, cheaper, and safer. That's what cytosol allows us to do without any animal testing. We use advanced systems biology. But that's a technology that I created out of my PhD work. And over the last 16 years, we've made it accessible to everyone. And we're also creating very powerful new medicines out of it, all coming from natural compounds in nature.
Beautiful. Dr. Shiva, I want to talk as we close, because this has been a great conversation and we're going to conclude it shortly, about your road to the White House. So how do we, a lot of people will say that you don't have a chance, right? And I just want to talk to that and how the movement happens in stages and just kind of, I'm very hopeful. I have a vision of what it would be like to have someone like you as president in terms of the freedom, the freedom from the enslavement that we would have in terms of the power, profit, and control and oppression that really has taken hold of the U.S. and of the mindset of the people in many ways. Tell us, like, how
is that going to happen? Yeah, let's talk about it. It's really one of the, I think it's one of the best questions you've asked. So among all the other good questions. So here's the bottom line, right? So when you really study this, and most people already know this intuitively, right? This is not any major, you know, aha, but 70% of the people in the United States either do not vote, they're checked out of the voting process, they register to vote, but they don't vote. And over half of them, by and large, are independents. That's about 70%, which means they don't believe in this two-party system. Mm-hmm. And they checked out. Okay. And with the work that we did in 2020, we exposed to the world that these voting systems are corrupt. Elections are indeed selections. All right. So the issue is, why are you running then? Aha, it's a very good question. We're running because we're building a movement. And if you want to stick it to them and you vote for us, they may, quote unquote, steal elections, but we will win the war. This is a real issue. They may steal elections, they may cheat, but when you vote for what we're building, Shiva for president, you're actually not voting for Shiva for president. You're basically getting off the plantation. That's what you're doing. When you put one of these stickers on your car, you're basically saying, I'm off the plantation. I've achieved a certain state of consciousness that I know that we will win the war, because enough people get that, Akanke, they're moving consciousness to a stage where they realize, I have chosen that I want a leader like Dr. Shiva, me, because he represents me, where I come from. And there's others like him too. And isn't it time that it doesn't matter if even one person votes for me, that person has raised their consciousness. That person is like a Malcolm X. And what happens if we get a million Malcolm X's? One Malcolm X, look what he left. Now, what happens when you have 10 Malcolm X's? It's not the number of people, it's the quality of consciousness. That's what we're talking about. So they may cheat, they may quote unquote win elections, but we will win the war when you vote for me. Because you're saying you've moved your consciousness. You're not asking them questions. Well, maybe you won't win. Why am I voting for you? I'm throwing away my vote. Well, stay at that level of consciousness. Mm-hmm. Because you're fat, dumb, and lazy. That's what that says. But if you were, I mean, you will see now on Twitter, people are saying, you know what? This whole system screwed up. I'm voting for Dr. Shiva. In some ways, you're showing absolute defiance. That's what you're doing. So if you want to stick it to them in one profound and very tactical way, vote for me. But more importantly, what you're really doing is you're mentally moving away. It's not a, because we're not going to win their elections. Mm-hmm. But if you say, wow, this guy is one of me, why don't we have other choices like that? Why is the fact that he has 2 million followers and for the last 3 years, they've just stayed at 2 million followers, mm-hmm. right? Because I'm the one who found the entire backdoor portal into Twitter and all these companies. They do not want competition. They do not want real people. And so when you do this, it's the biggest way that you're taking that, you're piercing the darkness. You're taking your trident and you're piercing the darkness. That's what this is about. This is about you. This is not about me. This is not about an election. It's about you. Do you get it to realize that, oh, I'm going to put one of these stickers on because that's a symbol of me raising my consciousness. And then I see someone else doing it. I see someone else doing it. You get enough people doing that. That's a wave of consciousness.
Mm-hmm. You had a video recently that spoke to that the people get the leader that reflects their consciousness.
Yes. Yes. So what I said was, our leaders reflect our consciousness. Mm-hmm. If you vote for Trump, what are you acknowledging that you mm-hmm. want somebody who bangs prostitutes, right? While he's married, who lies and cheats, who's a con man, and who actually comes out of World Wide Wrestling Federation, has never, ever really, really held a job. And his entire life is one of conning. If you vote for Booby Kennedy, look at how he lives his life. Just go study it. Really study it. You're going to get that world. And it reflects on you, your state of consciousness. So this is about you reflecting on what it means to be a human being. What is the purpose of life? Is the purpose of life to say, well, I need to win an election? No, that's not what it's about. It's about us moving through consciousness, raising it and fighting evil. So all the great spiritual leaders, be it Muhammad, right? What did these people ultimately do? They were great spiritual leaders, but even at their times, mm-hmm. they were fighting the status quo of the times.
Disrupting the system, yes.
Mm-hmm. So you can't say you're a Christian and not ask why Christ whipped those moneylenders. A lot of mm-hmm. Christians don't want to ask this. You can't be a Christian and be a Zionist. I'm sorry, you're not a Christian. Mm-hmm. If you're a Christian and you support what the Israelis are doing to Palestinian people, I'm sorry, you're on the dark side. You're using the name of Christ. And by the way, Muslims at least believe Christ was an agent of God, right?
Prophet, yes. It's
unfortunate and Christians don't even, this is why there's huge contradiction between Christian Zionism. The Zionist Jews don't even believe that. They That's believe right. Christ was some crazy guy, That's crazy right. rabble rouser, you know? And he was a nobody, okay? People need to really, really think about it. So Christian Zionists, you're not Christians, okay? You're quote-unquote Christians. Let go of your Zionism, and you have a chance for salvation. Okay, that's my position on that. Yeah. So, but your leaders reflect your consciousness. Those people who become part of our movement, support what we're doing, you're in a seriously a different state of consciousness. You're doing the right things at the right time, not for opportunism. Voting for people who are going to win is opportunism.
And voting for Biden to not vote for Trump is it's just like you said, it just doesn't make sense.
You're choosing one devil over another.
Yes, the lesser of two evils. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, or Booby, right? Another devil. Right, he's the latest devil. They have to now create independent devils too.
Hmm. What do you think about Dr. Cornel West? Do you Have you met him? Do
the
you?
The problem with Cornel West is he, you know, they pull him out whenever they need him. Okay. He's like a character. Okay. It took him, I mean, he's what, 70 plus years old? It was only 6 months ago. I said, oh, yeah, Bernie's not a good guy. He supported Hillary. Come on. Where have you been? All right. Either you're dumb, Cornel, or you're part of the problem. Okay. You say a lot of good things. You call everyone your brother, but he's either, my view, he's part of the problem. Okay. He has an opportunity to really lead Black people away. He's not talking about ending the occupation of the United States from Zionism. He doesn't say that with clarity. He's not mobilizing Black people and white people to really go after this. He comes out once in a while, says some radical stuff, and then goes back to Princeton, okay? He's not about building a bottoms-up movement. So, you know, they have characters, Akanke, that they pull out every once in a while to act as though they have a democratic system. And that's the role that he serves. But, you know, go look at it saying, oh, my God, Bernie did this, Bernie did that. Look, in 1984, Jesse Jackson was running against a guy called Walter Mondale, and he was leading a thing called the Rainbow Coalition. And he manipulated a lot of young people. Oh, my God, Jesse's saying all these things. He's anti-establishment. And at the last minute, he gives all of his votes to Walter Mondale, the lesser of two evils nonsense, right? And when Bernie was running, this was when, 2016, a lot of my friends are like, oh, you should support Bernie, he's anti-establishment. I said, no, he isn't. Anyone who gets that kind of publicity, anyone who's promoted is part of the swarm. I said, watch what he's going to do. He's going to do exactly what Jesse did in 84. He's going to give all of his votes to Hillary Clinton. And one of my friends was one of his big campaign managers here. She goes, no, you're a expletive. You know, you always critique people. I said, that's what he's going to do. She walked out of my house, didn't hear her from 2 years. And then she called me crying. You know, he did exactly what you said. Yes. Because once you understand, so.
System side.
Yeah. Why are you hanging out with the Democrats, Cornell? Why are you promoting the left wing of the Democratic Party? Why are you a house slave to them? Get off their freaking plantation. That's my message to him. It took you all this time to realize Bernie is not one of us. He's always been one of them. He's their tool that they bring out. And that's what Cornell is too. He needs to get fully off the plantation. He's not off the plantation.
Thank you so much, Dr. Shiva. It's been great to talk with you. Do we want to play the video now as we close out?
Yes, you can play it. And I'll leave. Is that all right?
Okay. I'm going to. Well, I'm embarrassed to say that I forgot to record, so I'm going to have to use your recording for this whole session. I apologize.
Oh, yeah. No worries. Okay, yeah. We have it, and we'll send it over to you. We'll save it and send it to you.
All right. Okay.
I'll play it right now.
Yeah. So on get in the recording. Yes.
Yes. So I'm going to end this. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks. Take care. Peace and blessings. Okay. Take care.
Yep.
Thank you.
Who would have ever thought I'd be running for president of the United States of America? I was born a low-caste untouchable in India's caste system, a system of aristocracy, oppression, and racism. My name is Dr. Shiva Ayyadure. I'm an MIT PhD, a Fulbright scholar, a scientist, engineer, entrepreneur, and inventor. My family and I left India to come to America on my 7th birthday. I grew up in the working-class neighborhoods of New Jersey, playing baseball, mowing lawns, painting houses, and coding software. My friends and neighbors are Blacks, Italians, Irish, people of all races. As a 14-year-old, I wrote 50,000 lines of software code to create the world's first email system and was awarded the first U.S. copyright for email, recognizing me as its official inventor at a time when copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I did that long before I ever came to MIT, revealing that big innovations can occur anytime, anyplace, by anybody. Growing up, I saw politicians dividing us by race and religion in both America and India to have us fighting each other while they remained safe in their gated communities and in their playgrounds of Hollywood, Martha's Vineyard, and Silicon Valley. I'm a fighter. I fought racism and exposed their imperialist wars, fought for workers, and put my life on the line against global corruption. I never wanted to run for political office. All that changed when I saw working Americans as never before being duped by the establishment and the not-so-obvious establishment. Across left and right, we were being sold out and made to forget why we came to America and why America existed. Lawyers, academics, billionaires, celebrities, and politicians, elites, Clintons, Kennedys, Bidens, Obamas, Bushes, Black and white, have hijacked America. They printed trillions for their friends. They delivered crumbling infrastructure, corruption, and racism. They transferred trillions to themselves, dividing black and white, fear-mongering and fake science. Lockdowns and censorship, dirty air, food, and water, pushing drugs upon us, making us sicker. We've been sold out. One set of rules for them and another for us. We deserve a warrior with a history of courage in putting everything on the line for you, who believes in you, not them, who has created a movement bottoms up for truth, freedom, health. I've exposed their lies at the right time, never waiting until it was popular. I've exposed their false gods who exist to lead you back to them. I've exposed their fake science of lockdowns and masking and provided you solutions to fight them and win and protect your immune system, saving millions. I exposed Fauci, galvanized the Fire Fauci campaign when others remained silent. When they stole our election, we sued the government and Twitter in our historic 2020 federal lawsuit, exposing in bare view the government and big tech censorship infrastructure, the unholy alliance between government and social media companies. Where was Elon and his grifters? They stood by the sidelines and did nothing. They did not use their megaphones to help us when it could have made a big difference. Now our movement grows for truth, freedom, health, independent of all of them. Every day millions are learning the science of systems, the knowledge the elites do not want you to have, so you may learn how to think, stand up, and fight, independent of the establishment of left and right and their fake heroes. Now it's time for you to join the movement to win back America, to win back truth, win back freedom, win back your health. That's why I'm running for president of the United States. This race is about you. This race is about truth, freedom, health versus power, profit, control. We've had enough. They think we'll fall in line and vote again for their lawyers, celebrities, billionaires, and chosen ones from above. We choose our heroes from below, from the rank and file, who do what is right at the right time, not when it's convenient and popular. They can never represent us. What America needs is a movement by the working people, for the working people, who are educated, organized, decentralized, and fight for independence from their systems of control. And that movement exists. It's ready for you. We don't need them. We need us to go bottoms up, neighbor to neighbor. My journey, your journey, are all the same. It's our time. It's time we had one of us. It's time to win back truth, freedom, health, to win back America. Be part of this historic movement all the way to our victory on November 5th, 2024. If you're an American citizen, pledge your vote now for Dr. Shivaya Duray, the independent candidate for U.S. president. No matter where you live, you can be a part of this. Volunteer as little as 20 minutes a day. Don't delay. This is Dr. Shivaya Duray, and I approve this message, paid for by Dr. Shiva for president.
All right, everyone, please remember that every Thursdays at 11 a.m. and 8 p.m., we do an open house. You're all invited. But become a member of the movement for Truth, Freedom, Health. Become a Truth, Freedom, Health warrior. It's the ultimate way that you will understand the science of systems, raise your consciousness, and learn how to win. It's one thing me understanding this, but our goal is to permeate this knowledge everywhere to those people who have come to the conclusion that we need to build a bottoms-up movement, and they want to ask how we do that. So please do this for yourselves. Don't do it for me. Do it for yourselves. If you made it this far to this video, get involved in the movement for Truth, Freedom, Health. And everyone go to Shiva for President. Get one of these bumper stickers, Shiva4president.com, and put it proudly on the back of your car. And when you do that, you're basically telling people, I'm off the plantation. I don't believe that I have to vote for the lesser of two evils. I don't need to vote for a booby, a Trump, or a Biden. I'm choosing someone I believe in. It's a principled position. We need people with principles from now on, not people who do what's opportune, because that doesn't work. The life expectancy of people is going down with all this lesser of two evils nonsense. So get involved, get involved. As I leave, I'll play you this video on why you should all become Truth, Freedom, Health warrior scholars.
We have allowed our country to be taken over from within, and the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to, and we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that, and that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left-wing, right-wing, There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train an army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up, working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You've got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you. The Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own quote-unquote people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhelp.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics. And I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. Now, the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhelp.com. So people can sign in, they can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth Freedom Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there. But we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhealth.com.
Everyone, I hope that was valuable. So get involved, get educated, or be enslaved. Go to truthfreedomhealth.com, contribute, but support yourself, because when you contribute, we give you this entire program. You get access to an amazing community of people, a global community of people. You get to raise your consciousness, but we make you warrior scholars. You study, we give you the science, but we also get you on the ground with that science to help mobilize other people. So get involved, get involved, get involved. And I hope you enjoyed this with Akanke. I guess she had some problems with her Zoom because she was talking on her end. I don't know how much you guys heard about it, but she's going to restream this on her end also. But anyway, thank you, everyone. Be well, be
the
light.
We need to build a bottoms-up movement. Go to shivaforpresident.com and volunteer.